Anybody remember what we were talking about last week? Wow, Richard. I wish you were preaching today. Amen. He can do it on the drop of a hat. Amen. James chapter 3. The three T's of wisdom. James 3. In fact, we're going to go back to 1. We'll go back to 1 today. Amen. Kind of see some things out of chapter 1. And then we'll get some things out of chapter 3 as well. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word cannot be put under a rug someplace and have us just say, well, there, that now that's not going to have anything to do with me. But you said you were going to judge us by your words, hallelujah, and our words. So, Father, words are one of the most important things in our lives. So, Father, help us be careful with your words today, and help us be careful with our words in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here is where our words can go south, down in the tank if we don't watch it. Hallelujah. Verse 2 of James 1 says this: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter, or the King James says, fall into various trials. Okay? How many of you, when you fall into a trial, are just hopping with joy? Doesn't happen, does it? It just doesn't. Human reaction to any kind of opposition, any kind of difficulty, we are not going to be joyful. We're just not. But God says here, you can fake it. Consider it. That's not faking it, is it? Consider it all joy. Now, what that means is, in your mind, you're going, Father, I'm going to approach this with as much joy as I possibly can. Okay? That's when you consider it. Now, if you go on and read, you'll have a reason to count it joy that isn't just, oh my gosh, my car. I heard this the other day on the radio. Some lady, they had 4 vehicles in their family, and in 4 days, all of them were in the shop. She said, can you even believe this? 4 days and 4 cars just went kaput. And we're going to have thousands of dollars worth of automotive expense. How can you count that joy? Let's go on and find out. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. And let endurance or patience have its perfect result. How many would like a perfect result? I think you can get excited about a perfect result. Anybody can. And this is why it's perfect. That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but if I've got 4 cars in the garage, I feel like I'm going to be lacking something when they get out. And the guy that fixed them says, I didn't do this for nothing. Okay? But somehow, some way, God is going to step into it if you can count it all joy. Okay? If you can count it all joy. And then he tells you what we're going to talk about a lot today. But if you lack wisdom, how many of you ever got in a mess that you would say, there's no answer? And there isn't any answer. Or, I have no idea where to even start. I may see an answer, but I don't even know where to start this thing. Okay? In the life that we have on this planet, nobody is going to get through it all without tests and trials. Okay? So I want you to see the testing of your what? The testing of your faith. Who tests your faith? God doesn't. God gives you faith. He didn't test your faith. He gives you faith. Somebody else tests your faith. Yeah. So you have two adversaries. You have the demonic world, and then you have people. Sometimes the devil can twist people up so bad, he just leaves them alone. They'll just tear everything up on their own. You may have one of those in your family. Amen. Yeah. And yeah. Marge just said several. I wouldn't have said several if I was her, but now we know. Or did you say Severin? Oh, maybe I had that wrong. I'm sorry. Amen. So if any of you lacks wisdom, duh, everybody in the whole human race is going to say, I've lacked wisdom sometime, even if my name is Donald Trump. Amen. I've lacked wisdom sometime. Here's the deal. God has a complicated way of doing things. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask. Now, I can see across this room the possibility that you have tried this. Amen? Several times. Yeah. And didn't necessarily come out the way you thought it would. Amen. So I wanna have you just allow me to give you some things that have happened in my life. Okay? There's a place where the Bible will become blind to you if you do not have a real live testimony or life story from somebody. Okay? Once you get a life story from somebody, you'll say, oh, that's the way you do that. Okay. So I'm going to give you some life stories here. And they're going to be a little bit different because always remember, God is a creator. God never made the same person, and he's made a lot of them. Okay? He's never made two that are exactly the same, not even twins. Okay? There's no such thing as a replica. God makes everybody a little different because he likes to. That's who he is. That's what he likes to do. Huh. So do you think he's going to give you the same wisdom twice, the same way? No. He always, always likes a good mystery. I just heard this the other day. This is a great thought. I was looking at a guy. They were talking all about what's going to happen tomorrow in the world we live in. Amen. If you didn't know, there's going to be an eclipse, and that's going to change things. And everybody's getting really excited to see what that change is going to be. And so I was listening to a guy that's an astronomer, and so he was talking a little bit about it, and then he's a Christian astronomer, and he said, you need to understand that God has written the future in the heavens. So he's writing letters to people every night by the stars. And he said, but you have to dig to be able to figure it out. It just isn't, oh, I know everything about the stars now. You have to dig. So this man said a fascinating thing. He said, you know, anybody that can read a Bible and go to sleep in 10 seconds.
I don't understand what that is at all. I don't know.
See, but if there's a mystery they're looking for an answer for, they'll stay up all night. You're looking for the mystery. And let me tell you, trials are a mystery. And people just go, whoo, wisdom is a mystery. And if you can make a wisdom a mystery, people will run after it. And so when you have any kind of a day like we're going to have tomorrow, people are so cool. I mean, somebody said people were spending $900 a night on a Motel 6 in Oregon. $1,500 in Wyoming. Do we have $1,600? Man, oh man, people are silly. Thank you, Jesus. So how do we get wisdom from God? Everybody say, we ask. We ask. We ask of God. He likes us to ask. He wants us to ask. My dad was getting ready to sell his grain elevator, and one day he called me up and he said, "Brian," he said, "can I come down?" He was in Akron. I was out in Yuma County. He said, "Can I just come down and have you pray with me?" He said, "I am just going nuts over this whole thing." So as he came down and I talked to him about the situation, he said, I'm getting a lot of offers, but he said, I just can't accept some of them because I know those guys are they're not going to do things the way I'd like to be known for doing them. So he said, I'm kind of stuck right now. So he said, and I know the Lord is busy. And I'm not that great of a Christian. So he said, I know that he don't have much time for me, but I'm counting on you pulling me through. I said, well, I can guarantee one thing, I can pull you through all right. Hallelujah. But God's interested in listening to you too. Well, you know, I just don't know how to talk to him very well. And I said, well, you just listen to me. I'm going to pray for you. So if you think God is busy, you don't know God. God is not busy. He is at work. There is a huge difference. He is a God. The Bible says he's a God of peace who gives us peace in every circumstance. That's who he is. He's not busy, but if you ask, you just got his attention. Well, but what about all the other people in front of me? There is no such thing. It's like somebody saying, I'm gonna make a call on my cell phone, but I don't know how many people are ahead of me to talk to Jocelyn. There could be thousands. Okay, doesn't work that way. God can hear everybody all at once and answer everybody all at once. It's no problem. Okay? Simple. Ask. Let him ask of God who gives to all men stingily. He hates to give gifts to his kids. You. Somebody get a mic and get it back over in that section. They're preaching good today. I mean, they're preaching good. You know how he's going to give to you? He's a giver. He is filthy rich. You've never met anybody like him. He said, oh, we ran out of gold. Boom! There it is. Yeah. There's a new 10 tons. There's no lack with him. He creates it all. All right? So, when you ask God for something, he'll give you more than you ask for. He says the word generously. Generously. He gives to you generously, and he's not going to make fun of the fact that you're broke. He's not going to make fun of the fact that you didn't make it through sixth grade. He's not going to make fun of you. He's going to say, you came to the right place. And I'm not only going to give you the wisdom you need, I'm going to give you more than you need. So the next round that comes along, you're going to go, I know how to deal with this. I'm asking God. I know what to do. I'm going to ask him again. He likes that. He likes that part of the relationship you have with him. He likes meeting his family's needs. I know one of the most stunning things that happened to me when I became a dad was the fact that when that little baby started growing up and they started having desires, I actually loved meeting them. I liked it. I'm going, oh, man. I like taking my family out and eating. I like doing that. And one of the only things that all my kids would do this, when we had all five of our kids together and we went out to eat, as soon as they got done eating, they just go down the row. Thank you, Dad, for this food. It just shocked me. They never say that any other time. Thank you, Dad, for the car you just bought me. They did that too. Okay, but I liked doing that. I think that's the heart of God. You're his kid. He made you. He loves you, and he wants to give you good gifts. Bible's going to say that in just a minute, okay? So watch this now. Here's the thing that to him is a deal breaker. You can break the deal with God to give you wisdom if you do this. But let him ask in faith. Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surfer. He's bouncing around on the waves. He's going up and over, crashing and burning. God, no. You don't want to do that. Let him ask in faith without any doubts. And then he goes on to say this, if that guy comes to God, let him not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay? So, how do I not doubt? How do I not doubt when I ask of God, Father God, I have this situation that I am in. I need some help. I found myself in that place when we were leaving our church in Yuma County. We were in a place where we knew we were going to be moving on. And the Lord told him, we were building a brand new church building, just a gorgeous building. And as we were coming to the end of that process, he said to me, all right, he said, I want you to resign from the board of directors and I want you to step back from some leadership things, and that'll be the beginning of you turning this thing over and leaving. And so I cried my eyes out. But I'll just tell you, I loved that church. Joss and I would tell you that was almost 6 years in heaven for us. It was just so fast. Just whew, it was over with. We didn't have any idea when we left there what we were going to run into. No idea. Okay? But we got to the end and I'm just going, I really don't know what God wants me to do. All I know is, and this is the way he is. All I know is he's telling me when this building's done and everything is ready to move on, you're going to move on. Okay? So, we had during our process of building the building, we hired another pastor, okay? Because we were going to have a pastor. I wanted to be there out on the work site most of the time, because they have to have decisions made just like that. And there weren't cell phones then. When you're out in the middle of a pasture, which is exactly where we built this church, it was on pasture land out in Yuma County. So we hired another pastor, and everything was ready. He could take it over. He was the pastor before I was there, so going to be a smooth transition. But I didn't know exactly what this thing was going to look like. So here's what happened. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, you go to Tulsa and you talk to some people. And I so wanted to say, why can't you talk to me? Yeah. Why couldn't you just say, this is what I want you to do? He's not like that. He likes his body. Okay? He likes you to humble yourself to get wisdom from him. So we went to Tulsa. I talked to four men in Tulsa, and every single one of them had a different part of the ministry God wanted us to step into. Every one of them. I sat there at the end of the process. The last guy that I talked to really just put the bow on the whole package. And as soon as he did, I just said, that's it. I know exactly what to do now. Okay? I know exactly what to do. but I had to go 1,200 miles, 600 each way, spend lots of money. And I thought, man, you do not understand my finances. He always knows. He always knows. But hang on, hang on. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing, and he'll do it the way he wants to do it. He likes, now listen, he likes sacrifice. He really does. And for me to sacrifice, and it was a sacrifice to go to Tulsa. And it was really a big sacrifice to say, I'm kind of, I don't know what I'm doing. To four men of God. Three of them were friends. One of them was my boss at one point, Willie George. And none of them said, well, you are an idiot. None of them said that. They were great. They just did such a wonderful job just filling in their part. Okay? So we have that kind of a scenario. Sometimes God will just download it to you. Sometimes you'll hear that still small voice. Sometimes you'll just have a sense of what you need to do. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. You're learning how to walk with Him. He has a lot of ways He likes to walk with you. He also will speak out of your mouth. And you'll go, did I say that? Anybody been there? I'm not talking about over a drink at the bar. And all the drunks are talking and they don't know what they're saying either. Amen? All right. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was a pastor for the first few months in my ministry. We started our ministry in December, and now it's around to the spring. And I have guys that are working on their crops. So as we're going through spring, everything is all planted. I have one of my board members come into my office with his eyes glazed over, his countenance just fallen, and I looked at him and I thought, I think something's wrong. I said, Larry, what are you doing here? You should be, you know, working with your tractor. He said, I think I just lost my entire corn crop. If you want to know what that meant, this man farmed, I think it was 18 sections. That's a lot of corn. That's $1 million worth of corn. Okay? Yeah. And I said, okay, tell me about it. And he told me the story. He said, well, he said, I like to look at license plates and look at the numbers. And then if I find a number that I like, then I go hedge my crops. Now, if you don't know what that means, there is a market for all kinds of commodities. If you're a corn farmer, there's a market for corn. And you can sell your crop before you harvest it. And they'll give you the money right on the spot. But if you sell your crop and the price goes up, then you've lost a lot of money. And the whole thing will swing around and kick you in the teeth. Okay? So that's where he was. I was sitting in my chair in my office, and literally I was sitting there like this, and I looked over, and here was the wall. I looked at the wall because I had no answer for him, and I thought he'd like me to change my position to a thoughtful one. So I looked over, and out of my, in my experience, I thought the wall talked to me. And I heard this, coming out of the wall. How's that for creative? A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. How many would be interested in telling a man that just lost $1 million that? The wisdom of God. So I said, Larry, I just heard this. Now, just don't hit me after I tell you what I said. Don't hit me. I said, I just heard these words. Told him what I told you. He said, I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! I said, what are you talking about? He said, God's been telling me my wife and my mom are in just fight after fight after fight after fight. And he said, I haven't known what to do, and it's driving me crazy. And he said, I've been thinking, I'm going to have to separate from Dad. I'm going to have to separate from Mom. I'm going to have to go get my own thing. I said, This is really cool, Lord. I'm feeling real good right now. I don't know about him, but I'm feeling really good. To make a long story short, he did that. Within a year, God worked the most amazing thing maybe I've ever seen in my ministry. He took that man, when that man said, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to separate. And it's a, for farmers, it's a big deal to separate your operations. And say they worked through it, and they're living 20 feet away from each other, the old farmhouse that grandma and grandpa live in, and then he and his wife had 3 kids living in another right next to him. And so, going through the process, they landed on one of the most spectacularly beautiful places in all of Yuma County. It's a big county. Right by a river. They had lots and lots of cattle that they had as well. And I am telling you, that man from that day to now is blessed beyond measure. He came into my office a few years later. He came thundering into my office in our new church. And we had just had a big hailstorm the night before. And he came walking in, sat down. I said, what's up, Larry? He said, I got hailed last night. Man, oh man, how bad? And he said, bad enough. He wrote out a check for $10,000 And he said, take that devil. Now, he wasn't talking to me. Don't get the wrong idea here. He gave me as a representative of the kingdom of God. This is to spit in the devil's face. Amen? Yeah. So, when we're talking about the wisdom of God, it's not just to get you out of your little mess, and then you can get in another mess, and then you can get into another mess. That's not what it's about. It's about something totally different. Totally different. You want to know? You want to know what it is? Listen to this. We go up into verse 12, chapter 1. I'm going to close with this. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. He's going through the trial. Devil, I'm going to get you, buddy. I'm going to take a stand here. But there's something more important than being mad at the devil. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Do you understand what God's saying here? He's saying, when you can love me through the trial, when you don't get mad at me and say, God's doing this to me, which everybody gets tempted to say, and instead you go, I'm having patience. And I've asked the Lord, and I've got the wisdom. Well, what is it then? It's still inside, coming up as seed for the right time. It'll come, the harvest will come at the right time. It's in there, got it right now. Yeah, got it right now. It's growing right now. In between time, I'm loving Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I love you. You have everything in my life in a place that I'm not going to fall. I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise up through all of this stuff. I'm going to rise up by your love and grace. I'm going to do it. Now, I need to let you know something. Kenneth Hagin, who is the father of the men we're going to hear preach tonight, Kenneth Hagin shared about one of the trips that he took to heaven. He took three trips to heaven. God caught him up into the heavenly realm and let him look around. One of the things that he saw were the crowns in heaven. He said, in heaven, crowns are on many people. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that there are 24 elders with golden crowns. But the Bible also says that Jesus has a crown with many diadems. Kenneth Hagin got to see Jesus' crown. He said there is no earthly way to describe that crown. And he said the crowns in heaven are a little bit different because they're so big they are suspended over your head. There's no way it's so it's so glorious, there's no way in the world it would fit on your head. So it's up above your head. And he said, everything in that crown is telling people your testimony. So in other words, you're going to live a picture of your life in eternity. You're going to have that from what you did on planet Earth. It's going to be living up there. Every great thing that you ever did for God is going to be up there. All the bad stuff that you did is going to be burned with fire. Nobody going to see that part? Amen. God doesn't shame his kids. Amen. It's all going to be burned up. All right? So I want everybody to leave this room today saying the most powerful, prominent thing that I need to do when I'm going through a trial is understand if I love Jesus and I am full, and that'll make you full of joy, then I am going to receive a crown. And everybody else is too that loves Jesus through a trial. Love him through the trial and you'll love him anytime. Father, we just come before you today. There are so many people that are believers that don't love Jesus the way they should. In fact, Lord, we could all say, we all think we got quite a ways to go before we can get all the love we want to have for Jesus in us. So, Lord, I pray right now for every person in this building, because everybody in our day wants to know that Jesus loves them. And he does. He loves them more than anybody else on the planet loves them. But that's not the issue. The issue with heaven and earth is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? And all of us as children of God, we're going to have a love for Jesus in some amount. But Lord, we're just asking you today, don't let it be small. We want our love for you to be just as generous as your wisdom is for us. Oh, Father, I can guarantee you those words didn't come out of my brain. That came out of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person in this building right now. May their hearts be stirred to love you more from now until we leave this planet. May our love multiply for the Lord Jesus. May our love grow. Oh, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. Kibbalah.